When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When the spawn meets
world. What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
But it's Bruh Meets World.
Your boy Meets World Funcast. This is another extra credit episode. Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth, y'all.
This is coming out Juneteenth. We wanted to do another one of our summer series extra credit episodes. We are doing The Blackening. This episode, the 2023 horror comedy, I believe it's what they're tagging it as.
You know, it's definitely a comedy for sure. I can't remember actually the last time I was in the theater with so much laughter. So I would definitely mark it more as a comedy than a horror, definitely.
Absolutely. We wanted to give you guys a little bit of something. As you know, we are on our summer hiatus, but we'll still be giving you guys episodes every once in a while. As always, check us out at Bruh Meets World and listen to our regular season episodes on anywhere that you have podcasts. Check out our YouTube. Help us get that 1,000. So please go over to our YouTube page and subscribe. And you guys also know we have merch.
We got so much merch, y'all. We got the best. Turned on by Turner shirts.
Turned on by Turner shirts. The infamous ones. Made infamous by our guest appearance on Pod Meets World. So you guys go over there. Listen to our spot on Pod Season 2 Recap. Check out our regular episodes. Check out our YouTube. Order our merch. And if you are still interested, listen to our review of The Blackening.
You know, Siege, we did not set out to do a Black movie summer review series, but with The Little Mermaid and Spider-Man and now this, June and May, this is a very Black-ass summer so far.
It was
a
Black-ass summer.
I'm loving it.
That's why they are doing this. They're like, you know what? We'll give them June. June is now Black summer releases. Either way, I'm for it.
Here's the thing. I know Juneteenth is historic, but we've already dedicated June to Pride. And I don't want to take away anything from Pride.
Very good point. Very good point.
So, yeah.
We coming for all the months.
Yeah. Exactly.
We coming for all the months. As usual, you guys, this is a spoiler-filled review. You know, we can barely keep the conversations the way that they're supposed to be. So if you have not seen this movie, go and check it out. Or if you want to hear our unbiased opinions as we dive in, know that they will be spoiler-free filled.
Siege, what inspired you to want to see this movie, The Blackening?
I'm not gonna lie. I will say, I remember seeing the short that this was based on years ago. For those of you who don't know, this was a short like YouTube sketch a few years ago that literally had like the scene of like, who is the blackest and the blackest person gets killed. And it was hilarious. It went viral. I thought it was so funny. And this idea of like a bunch of Black people, like, for everyone who knows, in American horror movies, the Black person is very often killed first. So the idea of a group of Black people being in a horror thriller definitely was interesting and definitely was like, okay, where could we go with this?
I love that the tagline for this movie is "We all can't die first." Really incredible and playing on to the history. There's a fantastic documentary on, I believe it's Shudder, called Black Noir. And it just talks about African-Americans within the horror genre and how we've been portrayed and how we've claimed ownership and all of these different things. And as a longtime horror nerd, to see them pay homage to so many great horror moments, to see them just make a Black as hell movie with like full stop, no breaks. Like, it was just one of those things I never thought I would really see. I mean, I've seen Scary Movie, don't get me wrong. And that's definitely within this is a child of Scary Movie, definitely. Yes. But even Scary Movie had a lot of influences of whiteness, especially throughout the sequels as the Waynes kind of lost ownership of it. So this movie was just maybe the blackest horror movie I've ever seen. I don't know if we want to call it a horror movie, but it's definitely one of the blackest I've ever seen.
Absolutely. I love that you said that. So since we are talking about the movie, let's just get into it. A little recap for you guys. The Blackening is about seven black friends who go away for the weekend and end up trapped in a cabin with a killer who has a vendetta. Will their street smarts and knowledge of horror movies help them stay alive? Probably not. That is the summary of the movie. And
great,
I think that's great. And if we're talking blackness, let's talk about a little roll call. This is a black-filled movie. But if you are not black, do not think that you have to be black to watch this movie. It is actually very fun. I was surprised. I don't know about you. I was one of four black people in my theater.
Same. Oh my God. Can I just say, I had the same exact experience, and there was something that was like, damn, I should have just drove into central LA to watch this movie. Like, I should have just made the drive and watched it amongst my peer group, because all of the inside jokes, I was the only one laughing. When they said the send it off reference and I finished the line, there were so many times I finished the line in the movie with them, and I could tell I was in a minority in terms of who was able to understand the jokes in the theater.
It's so funny that you say that, because my theater was filled with people laughing. It was filled with people who like got the jokes and all this other stuff, which is why I wanted to be like, if you aren't black, don't feel like you have to be black and you have to know every reference. It's funny enough where it lives on its own.
I saw this movie next to an old white couple, and they seemed like they were having a blast with it.
Yeah. For me, was very much like, what you laughing at? Like, some of it is like, you laughing a little too hard, but...
It was all comfortable laughter. At no point did I feel like, I don't want you laughing at that. I was like, no, this is just genuinely funny.
It's just
I get
genuinely
it.
Funny. Let me get into the cast before I can. We have Antoinette Robertson, Dwayne Perkins, Cinca Walls, Grace Byers, X Mayo, Melvin Gregg, Jermaine Fowler, Yvonne Orji, and Jay Farrow. That is our mostly star-studded black cast. I really enjoyed this movie, and I have to admit, it was better than I thought it would be.
It was much better than I thought it would be. The cast, I had most of them I wasn't too familiar with, and I thought they had fantastic chemistry as an ensemble. I could believe that they had been friends forever. I believed that they had a past, like their in jokes that they had when they were like playing spades and talking shit, all that felt natural and real. And like I really think that without a cast of people who have good comedic timing, this movie would have been a lot more boring. It would have felt way flatter. I don't know if you ever got around to seeing Cocaine Bear. Did you ever see it?
I didn't. I haven't seen
it. I saw it streaming after it came out, and I was like, this bear is in 10 minutes of this movie, and the rest of it is just boring as hell. But this, I was just like, even without there being an exciting incident, I'm still entertained just by the cast alone.
Yeah, and I am so excited to rewatch this, because A, I want to rewatch this with other black people, because I felt if you are black and you have a group of black friends, please watch it with them. I feel like it's made for groups. This is why it's one of the reasons why it's our Juneteenth episode. This is such a good movie to go see with friends and family, and just kind of like, it's a movie about friendships, camaraderie, and groups.
Well, now that we're like through all the opening, let's really get into what this plot is about, because the plot of this movie is a bunch of friends from college had a giant Juneteenth party, and 10 years later, on the reunion of this massive party, they're gathering together again. People start to die, and it turns out it has a lot to do with what happened at the Juneteenth party that happened 10 years earlier.
Barry, I know what you did last summer.
100%. And the reason why I bring this up is because one of the things I want to talk to you about, Juneteenth, were people celebrating this 10 years ago? I feel like Juneteenth is something that, although was known outside of HBCUs, I can't remember it being heard or discussed.
I was going to say, you won't tell me this group didn't go to an HBCU.
Yeah, you're right.
They
you're
went right. to an HBCU and they knew. It's like, yeah. That's why I was like, you would be right if this was a PWI, but this group went to an HBCU. It's clear.
There's a point where they have to like test their blackness. It's part of the game that they play, the kind of Saul type of game that they have to win in order to live. But when they started singing the second verse of Lift Every Voice and Sing, I was just like, oh, that's HBCU.
Wait. They did not. I think what was great about it is this movie is so much fun because it shows that there is no one right way to be black. As long as you're not actively anti-black. Like the twist at the end where we happen, it's like, no. You were being anti-black with your decision making. So that's different. But like the idea of them being like, what's the second verse to Lift Every Voice and Sing? And everybody be like, yo, that got like 15 lines. Like, all that.
What does Beyonce sing? I know that much.
Yeah. But there's that. And then there's also the scene that I loved was when he's like, name all the black guest stars on Friends. And they go, oh, I don't know. I mean, except this person. He's like, oh, so you watch Friends? And then he's like, no. But then this person, they're like, so you watch Friends? Did everybody watch Friends? And it's like, yeah, y'all all watching saying y'all didn't watch.
And I know you loved the correct answer, which is, I don't watch that shit. I watch Living Single.
Oh, God. It was so much fun. We, like, again, in my theater, I will also say this was one of the blackest movie-going experiences I had as an individual. Not as, like, the crowd, but I was actively yelling back to the screen.
Of course.
That person. When they say, name a movie character who survived, a black movie character who survives to the end of the horror film.
What's your answer?
He says, no. My answer was, of course, Brandy, and I still know what you did last summer.
Oh, my answer was LL Cool J in H2O.
Okay. Either way, we write. But the moment that they asked that question, and he said, Omar and Jada. I was like, I was so loud. I was like,
one black lady in the row ahead of me, and I know she was black because at that moment she's like, Nick, did you watch the movie?
Again, it's so much fun and so much joy. And then we've kind of hit on this a little bit. But the movie itself constantly is quizzing the characters, making them think of what it means to be black. Survival is dependent on them being black. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that is the heart of what this movie is actually about, where it was just a funny sketch that could have just been turned into a series of sketches. It actually asks a much bigger question that we in the diaspora are constantly asking amongst ourselves, which is, yo, is that white shit? Like, do you really have your black card? I'm going to have to revoke your black card. Like, there's so many times where it's like, wait, you haven't seen that movie yet? Yo, you haven't heard that album yet? And people just look at you funny like you ain't black anymore, which I just think it's such an amazing, like, the way they took that and turned it into a narrative is fantastic to me.
Absolutely. Because it's a conversation that the black community has been having, because being black in itself is defined very narrowly sometimes. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I'm doing it as a black person, then it's a black thing to do. And I like that this movie shows kind of like the hypocrisy or like the limiting standards of even like personal growth. If we adhere to like that rigid mindset. However, I also love that this movie is like, no, we're actually changing what it means to be black, and we're changing what it means to be thought of like as a holistic person, which again is I like that.
I like how throughout the film, you know, there's these constant questions that are being asked even before the game officially begins. There's like, oh, you don't know how to play spades and all of this shit. what I love is that there is no one character who is like checks all the boxes of what it means to be Black. Everybody Correct. Has something that like, oh man, that actually,
even King, when most... King came in and King was just like, he's supposed to be the hardest and he's like a little Hotep-ish, you know, like, or like, no, actually I will take it, he's not Hotep-ish, he's very just like, you know, like my brother and like all this other stuff. When they were like his white wife, I was like, like, and this is, I'm somebody who has a white partner, so I am not one to speak, but it definitely was like, oh. And then when they were like, you know, they were commenting on like him being the Blackest, and he was like, I got a white wife. And they were like, that's not.
I laughed so saying. Hard. I was like, no, that only further proves.
It was
honestly all of their reasonings for why they aren't the Blackest all had me dying laughing, like absolutely. Every little minute thing I thought was hilarious.
I knew that you would like it. I think her name is Allison. When they were like, Allison's the Blackest for whatever reason, she was like, oh, now I'm the Blackest.
Yeah, I love I've that been
she was like, my entire life it was, you're not Black enough.
Now all of a sudden someone gotta die and now all I'm of a sudden, Black.
I'm Black. No, today I am white.
My father is white with a hua.
Again, yo, but
did you not scream when, okay, I think it's that same character, Allison, when she accidentally takes Adderall later. We're trying to slap some sense into her. They're like, hey, if you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up
and pay attention.
Guys, bro, there's so many inside jokes from the culture that they just sprinkled in just the most organic, natural way. You are my sister, my strength, and my pride.
I love that. Set it off reference. I feel like Set It Off. And like, again, it was a really good, fun movie. But also the character dynamics, the idea of Dwayne and Lisa having like this bond, but then also,
I love the character of Dwayne, by the way. I loved his like friendship dynamic
with Lisa,
and I'm sorry, what's the love interest?
Namdi,
yes. Okay, so that whole backstory between them, I thought it was a really rich way to flesh out those characters in a natural way. Like, you know, she's like, you know, I'm trying to get back with this dude, but I don't want to tell my best friend because this guy's always fucked me over and he was the one I cried to. And I just love, it was felt very real to me.
Oh, it was absolutely real for them to come. Sorry, I just remembered something, but like, it was absolutely real for him to be like, you know what? Don't come to me with this anymore. I was there for you for years when he cheated on you. I watched it and you want to make this same mistake again. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
and suddenly I'm the bad person. What did he say? He said something along the lines. I was like, oh, I've been Dwayne, where he was like, I will only be worried about people who care about themselves and respect themselves.
The pettiness was next level.
Oh, it was so petty. But I was like, I see where Dwayne's coming from. But also Lisa has the right to make her own decisions. And I thought that was really funny. But the other thing that I thought about was when Namdi was apologizing, and they were like, we don't have time for this. And Dwayne was like, why you ain't interrupt this? Like, <Yeah. laughs> why you interrupt my apology?
My apology. I thought Annette Robertson, I think I'm saying that name right, as Lisa. Mm-hmm. Lisa. I thought she did a fantastic job as I would assume her to be the final girl or the lead of the movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I guess, wasn't she the central, like, conflict?
You know, I think you can be right. I feel personally it felt like an ensemble.
Definitely,
but she does do the final blows.
Yeah.
So
I just thought, you know, from a character perspective, hers was very interesting because visually, all of the other characters, especially the women, they just look very current and modern. She's wearing this dress that almost makes her look very Hitchcockian, and I thought that was intentional. The way her hair is done, the way the light kind of hits her throughout the house in certain moments, I was just like, oh, it feels like they're playing into kind of like this classic black and white type of horror movie.
To your point of like Easter eggs, I don't know if you noticed, the door in the cabin is green, which I thought was really good because usually in white movies it's a red door, and the red is the exact inverse of green.
Sure.
The idea of them using a green door it's that. It's like, oh, this is the opposite of what is expected, and what would be seen in a white horror film. But it's also the Juneteenth colors. So I just thought that was very, very important.
Interesting. Actually, you know what? There's some dispute about that. I don't know if you know that, because a lot of people are saying that Juneteenth is an essentially an American-specific holiday. So it doesn't make sense to include the larger African diaspora colors within the celebration. So they're saying that it is blue, red, and white are the colors that we should use. But
interesting. I mean, that, like, a little conversation. And as we are discussing, this movie really is about, in my mind, the evolution of Blackness and what it means to be modernly Black.
Definitely. Even with all of the, like, amazing Jordan Peele movies that we've gotten over the last few years, and Atlanta and Insecure, like, we've gotten some great content. This feels like a really fresh, it's funny, but it also feels like a very innovative take on something that I thought would have been tired. Like, I didn't think that they could make a whole movie out of this, and they surprisingly did in, like, a really innovative way.
When he goes, did you hear me? I said, I go to therapy. Black people don't go to therapy. And they're like, actually, Black people are increasingly taking their mental health seriously. And he's like, okay then.
He's like, I mean that. He's like, big fucking deal. No, actually, it is a big fucking deal. We're long overdue.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that idea of, like, Black people, there is this feeling of Black people can't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's life or death. And so, like, this moment of, like the constantly switching back and forth of, like, these are really high stakes, but I'm also going to take a moment and just acknowledge what just happened.
Yeah. Like,
it's like, we run it for our lives, but don't think I didn't forget what you just did.
What I think is different about this movie, even compared to, like, Get Out or Us or something like that, is that even those Black movies feel like they're kind of made for white audiences in a way. But this movie feels like it is made for us and by us. Like, there feels like, yeah, don't get me wrong, anyone can come to this movie and have a great time. But in terms of just, like, the jokes and the way it's written, it's like, oh, in that same vein of, like, if you don't know how to play spades, you need to sit and learn until you figure it out. It kind of feels like, in the way the dialogue is so sharply written and they're going back and forth with these jokes at such rapid pace, it's like, if you don't get the joke, then you don't get it.
Absolutely. P, question. Do you know how to play spades?
Ooh, great question. I do not know how to play spades.
I don't either. And oh, here's my God. The thing about it that's so important is, like, for those of you who don't know, spades is a family function game. Those who know, and no one will teach you. So the thing about spades is, if you don't know, good luck learning. But they'll let you sit and watch, and if you can pick it up, you can pick it up. But, like, if you don't know, you're not joining. And the idea that this entire movie, spoiler, is hinged on the fact that someone didn't know how to play spades, it was hilarious to me. I was like, I kept watching, I was like, all of this is coming down to the fact that this dude didn't know how to play spades. And no one was willing to teach him. And I don't blame anybody for not teaching them, because that's just a known fact.
I was going to ask you this. You know, the cast went on their Instagram page and they were saying all of the things that would get their Black card revoked. Other than not knowing how to play spades, there's something that you feel like would traditionally get your Black card revoked?
Oh, see, I don't know. Being gay in general, again, as Dwayne said, being gay in general is something, being outwardly gay, shall I say, but being married to a white man, there are several things that could traditionally get my Black card revoked.
Hosting a Boy Meets World podcast.
Hosting a Boy Meets World podcast, all of these things. However, what I loved about this movie is, like, everyone has, like, the thing that could get them revoked. To your point, how long would you have lasted in this game? When they were asking the questions.
Oh, you know what?
How many questions did you get right before you were like,
I got the Aunt Viv question right. I did not get the friends question right, but technically I did, because in my mind I was just like, why are they asking about friends and not living single? So I don't know, maybe I would have got that shit right.
I got it, Viv, question wrong, because my answer was season four, when in fact it begins season four.
Yeah.
And that was, I was like, oh man, I would have been out. He would have got me.
I rewatched the entire series during the pandemic. So I was just like, yeah, it's three seasons. I knew that one.
Okay. That's good to know. Let's talk about some of the other performances. I thought the opening with Sean and Morgan, i.e. Yvonne and Jay Farrow.
Great.
I thought it was good because it totally set the tone. And I also thought the idea of her being like, you know, I honestly feel like they just killed Jada and what's his name?
Oh, Omar Epps, because they didn't feel like paying them. And I was just like,
yeah. And then they look and they've just like said, and these like Yvonne Orji and Jay Farrow are like the most recognized of the cast.
Yeah.
So the idea of them being like, oh, in reality, it was just because they couldn't pay them to be in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of take a pause and look at each other. I was like, that was fun.
I loved it. I love their reaction to the game itself, this like blackening board game, because if you see in the trailer, if you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about, that it's like you open it up and it feels very like Jim Crow.
It is. Sambo is what Sambo. The character's called.
Yeah, there's, you know, blackface, all this imagery. And when I thought, I was like, wow, this is so interesting to see this in our post-George Floyd era. Because if we can go back to 2020, I feel like June 2020, everybody was being re-downloaded with all this Black history, trying to educate people for why Black people were so pissed off to begin with. And I feel like all of like us had to kind of experience this trauma in public, in real time. And so like, it feels like our response to that is this movie in a very comedic way.
Absolutely. And again, in my mind, this movie, kind of like playing off what you said earlier, is a response to things like Nope and things like Get Out, where it's just like, yeah, all of that is good. But to your point, it was made at a time where Black lives had to be said mattered instead of allowing Black people to live. And that's ultimately the thing about this movie, is it allows Black people to live both in their authentic self and in the story. At a point in time, I was like, oh, besides the two killings that we got earlier, no one else is going to die because they are working together. And I thought that was really important.
Well, isn't that the answer to how do we overcome
together?
Timeless question? Work together.
Together.
What did you think about what this movie says about white allyship?
Oh, you mean Officer White?
Officer White? Yes.
Officer White? Yeah. Officer White was another one where I was like, the thing is, the moment he got out the car, I was like, baby, first of all, as he said, why are people always going to be involved in some shit? And then second of all, when you find the mask, I was like, that's two strikes, bro. I'm not waiting for three.
No.
And he was like, I can explain. Nope. Time has passed. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do, because I can definitely tell you I'm not opening this door.
I love that scene because on surface, it's this very like, first of all, there's a killer around and we found this mask. We have multiple reasons not to trust you. But the imagery of it is that there's a cop who's trying to offer help to Black people. And Black people are like, hey, if you see the circumstances that we're in, you wouldn't accept your help either. And I feel like they are showing that, yes, as a joke, but they're making light of something that is a very real conversation. Of that whole kind of thing of like afterwards, they're like, do we call the police? And they all laugh and they're like,
the very end is important, where they're like, okay, who, they were like, let's call the cops. And everyone laughs. And they're like, we can't call the cops. We can't have someone come over here. There is no way we would make it out alive if we called the cops in this situation. So instead, they're like, as you said, they're like, no, seriously, who do we call for help and hopefully live?
And I love the strategy, because throughout the mid-credit scene, you could say, they're just smoking a joint and just trying to figure out how do we do this without getting shot, essentially. And then they eventually are like, oh, we'll call firemen because they'll they don't have guns. We'll be okay. And they immediately get hosed. And I could not stop laughing. I was just like,
in a way, that's like a way of being like, let's not forget what firemen did to Black people either. Exactly. Like they ain't kill us, but they ain't exactly been on our side the entire time.
There's never a surefire safe way to be Black in America.
And look, to that point, what I love is, I think there's a moment in the movie where they were like, is there any white people who want to kill us? And they're like, I mean, I got death threats the other day.
Someone on Twitter told me to die the other day. Yeah, it's
exactly. Well, it's just like, yeah, that's just a part of it. All right, so we've been talking about, I want to talk about if there are any other like sight gags or stuff that you love, because when they came out with Rap Snacks, I lost
it. Well, Rap Snacks are real.
Rap Snacks are real?
Rap Snacks are 100% real.
They're real? Oh my God, I love this so much.
You're going to have to get your Black card.
Again, I love this.
Official, rapsnacks.net,
oh
baby.
Oh my God, I love this. You guys just saw me learn something today. Rap Snacks for real. I had no idea. When did these come out?
I don't know, but I mean, you could order some Rick Ross sweet chili lemon peppers chips at this moment.
Oh my God. I thought this was a sight gag very similar to Scary Movie. The fact that it's real is so much better. And I kind of do want some chips.
Well, you can get the little baby all in flavor.
You guys got to check out Rap Snack. I literally thought this was comedic, but no, this was product placement. And good for them.
To your point about like any other visual gags, I admittedly, like I told you before we recorded, I went into this movie. I didn't think about it from an analytical perspective. I wasn't like taking notes. I sat down and got on this ride and genuinely just enjoyed myself. I was laughing. I was getting lost in the story. As far as like a whodunit, like murder mystery puzzle, I thought it was very good in that regard. The
did you call it?
The nerd who didn't know how to play spades is the one.
Clifton.
He ends up being the mastermind behind the whole thing. And he hired two white guys to like go after everyone, which I was like, oh, is that a Jesse Smollett type of like, oh, hire two guys to do this?
Maybe.
I don't know. But I just thought it was really interesting that it came down to this, like, you know, if you take away someone's Black identity, what does it like drive them to do? And in this case, yes, it's an extreme, but I just think it's also just like it's a conversation for within our community saying like, hey, to judge another person based on how Black we think they are, based on these definitions that were given to us by white people, we are adhering to the same rules of whiteness within the Black community. I feel like that is the gist of like what this was trying to say in terms of like, you're not Black enough.
He voted for Trump twice.
Now that is something different. That is a different thing.
That to me was the real, everyone was like, in reality, we were going to fucks with you. Like they were really solid for their reasoning of being like, we got to stick together. He said, I voted for Trump twice. And everyone was like, you know what? In all honesty, I feel like we've done as much as we can do.
You know what? I take back everything I said. You're right. Because even at one point they said, we only voted for you because of the Trump thing.
Yeah, that's it. Like we were in unity with you. You weren't in unity with us. And that's what I think is important. I'm also sorry. I just saw that they have ooh-wee lemonade. It's literally spelled ooh-wee. I love this.
Rap Snacks. Rap Snacks, please contact us. We would love some sponsorship opportunities.
Love to be sponsored by Rap Snacks. Love it. I'm reaching out to people. But anyway.
Yeah. I need that Cardi B jerk barbecue.
I love this. I love it so much. Okay. To your point, my thing with Clifton, first of all, I will say, as much as I really did enjoy this movie, I felt like the guy who plays Clifton, Jermaine Fowler, felt like he was the weakest. And I felt like he was the weakest. And I kept being like, is there some commentary on like the way we play Black nerds on television? But like, it was so cartoonish. It was, I felt like everyone else was like comedic, but fun and not exactly a stereotype. Whereas his character was so overdone in my mind, I immediately knew, I thought to myself, I was like, wait a minute. He shows up and surprises Shanika at the convenience store.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I didn't know you would be here. Then I remembered that they said all eight of us, i.e. when you count everyone who's there, there are nine. And I was like, he was not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
In general. So like, I immediately was like, you're constantly defending that you were supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. It's you. And then also when he gets out and he gets shot and he gets dragged away, I was like, as always in horror, if you don't see the body, like with Jay Farrell, we saw that happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right.
So you know, that's why I called it.
I thought his performance was also very cheesy and comical. I thought that his character was supposed to be a direct reference to the Doofy Gilmore character of Scary Movie. And because he seemed so similar to that character, I thought like, oh, he's obviously not going to have that same Doofy turn. But then he ended up having the same turn that Doofy has in Scary Movie.
Well, not really, because even Doofy eventually like drops it all. And that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for him to stop talking that way and stop acting so nerdy and actually like be a little bit more confident and be like, you guys made me, or you thought I would still be that way and I've grown. Like, that's what I was expecting. And he didn't do that. He kind of like, kept it throughout. So
it felt like he was doing like an Eddie Murphy impression of a white person versus just being like a genuine black nerd. Because as we've discussed, we are self-defined black nerds, blurds. And, you know, blurds are a very large subculture right now. Like, they deserve representation. So it would have been nice to see him act in a more genuine way, just to kind of, address the commentary that's on blurds in general.
Absolutely. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought of the performance in Dear White People. I believe the character's name is Lionel. Jerron Horton. Like, to me, I'm like, that's a black nerd character that feels genuine. Yeah. And this just didn't feel genuine in any way. And therefore, I never could take it seriously.
The Lionel character from Dear White People is a fantastic example. I know exactly who you're talking about. And that dynamic would have worked a lot better.
Exactly. Like, so, or even like at first when Shanika first sees him, she goes, Carlton. And I was like, oh, if you had done a Carlton even.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have worked. His performance for me was the weakest of the movie. And I never officially got lost in his character, so it was very easy to see the turn coming for his character. So yeah,
definitely. One last thing about his performance was that it felt like a performance that worked really well within the sketch that it was based off of. That in that initial sketch, when you're with a character like that for a minute and a half, you can accept it a lot easier than when you're with a character like that for the length of a movie.
Absolutely. Also, can I just say, something this movie does, which I really enjoy, is this black joy of it all.
Oh, yeah.
They're in a horror setting, but they are having so much fun. Like, the fact that we see black people do drugs, like, unapologetically, like, ooh, give me some, oh, I want some Molly.
And I love it because you constantly see that with white movies, that they're constantly always partying with drugs. And it's just like, wow, it's like, yeah, we do Molly too. Like, we go to the woods, like, we're out here, we swim.
Exactly. Oh, the idea of like the swimming also being like, Shanika can swim and King can't, all of these things were really funny. And I thought, worked really well in the movie.
If you are black and you do go to this movie with a group of your black friends or family, I would have loved to have seen this movie with my cousins.
Yes.
Fun drinking game. Anytime you hear the N-word, take a sip and you will get tore up.
It was so much fun. Again, and the number of times, I don't know how to express it other than it was so much fun to see black characters be black with each other.
It felt like such a safe space in the way that like early UPN felt like a safe black space, or like BET before it got gross. You know, like where it just felt like, oh wow, this feels like a place for us, for culture to live, and like for us to participate in our own culture without it being for a white lens.
It didn't feel exploitive.
Mm-mm.
And that's a really good point. It's like it felt just, it was.
It was hip. It was cool. Like, it never went into Tyler Perry territory. Like, it never got cheesy. Like, I mean, other than that one performance, like, I really just felt like I was like, oh, man, I want to live in this world. I want these people to have a comedy, like, sketch show or something. Like, this needs to be something that is expanded upon.
The scene where first of all, we didn't talk about Shanika, who is, like, it's ex-Mayo is the actor's name. And she is the comic relief, or one of the comic reliefs, but she's so funny. But when she comes in, and she's just that person who's just like, Lisa, you smell like dick. And just unapologetically, like, just her person. But, like, the scene where
Dwayne... I smell a little dick, too, on there.
When Dwayne and Lisa and Namdi... Well, actually, I think it's just Lisa and Namdi... are hiding away in that vent.
Yeah.
And they just, like, you see them up there, and then Dwayne's like, let me up! And then the next scene is just, like, the three of them in there quietly. Again, I thought that that was hilarious, because that's exactly what we would do.
I love that the entire movie is slowly building up to a vomit. Like, if you listen to it, they're just like, if this happens, I'm gonna throw up. If this happens, I'm gonna throw up. And then... throughout the movie, you slowly see like a throw up, like I think we should split up, and it's almost getting there, and then finally it pays off in a way that like saves their lives. I talk
absolutely about. But here's the thing, I think like that's you know, I'm not one for gross humor, and the idea that they made that count, it wasn't a sight gag that they used, and then it was like, a, to your point, it was built to, it was something that like the movie teases at. And B, it's something that had consequences in the world. And affects the story.
Well, I also thought it was interesting that everyone who took drugs was affected when they were trying to escape. Like, I thought the throw up was a result of the fact that he had taken these drugs. Because I would just imagine and be like, man, no worse time in the world to be high out of your mind and then realize you need to run for your life. Like,
exactly.
The fact that, so, like, you actually see these characters, like, struggling to, like, get through. It's like, oh, she took Adderall and she is just on another one right now. Like, I like that it was, like, woven into the story organically.
Absolutely. I think they do a lot of things organically, and they made a lot of things make sense within their world. Sorry, we were talking about little sight gags. I thought about the part where I believe it's Namdi is shooting.
Yeah.
And he sideways corrects the gun.
Oh my God.
Good times. Anything else you want to say about this movie?
I do you have any other favorite references that they made? I'm trying to make the set it off, the living single reference. There are some, again, I feel like I need to watch this movie another
time. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, ultimately, we are highly encouraging you guys to check it out. But I feel like this is the movie you will watch again. And I will say, I watched this movie being like, we don't have a Juneteenth movie.
Yeah.
I take that back. There is the movie Miss Juneteenth. But I felt like this was a movie that very much like you have your 4th of July movies and you have your Halloween movies. We needed a Juneteenth movie. And this is a Juneteenth movie.
Well, every other holiday also has a horror movie attached to it as well. So this is the first time we get to have a horror movie for us. That's our holiday. My favorite was, who all gonna be there? Who all gonna be there? Like, I can't tell you how many times I'm just like, well, who all gonna be there though? Like, am I going?
When I said who all gonna be there, I didn't know.
Who all gonna be there? Like, just that question as it's said is such a black colloquialism. I don't know if Gen Z has tried to gentrify this into just pure slang like they do most black slang, but it felt very at home to hear those questions.
I will say, the one thing I want to acknowledge is they call this movie The Blackening, which is the name of the game in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And most people call it We Can't All Die First. And I do think that, like, that's a little bit of the problem with the marketing, because someone even asked us, they're like, hey, are you going to go see We Can't All Die First? And I was like, it's called The Blackening.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that people were confusing the tagline.
Like, and I guarantee you, like, if you go on Twitter and you do We Can't All Die First, people think that that's the title of the movie. And that's because the movie posters are, like, that's, like, the big phrase on all the movie posters. But yeah. I do like the idea that people are willing to see it. They just didn't know what it was called. So, you said you had something to end with.
Oh, you know, okay, so two thoughts. First off was that, you know, just a quick thing that popped in when we were talking about Juneteenth was that you were saying we didn't have any Juneteenth movies. I've been watching Roots on Juneteenth, which has been very emotionally draining. I did Roots 2 years ago. Last year, I did Homecoming. And this year, I was like, oh, man, this is good. So I feel like I'm getting to a more positive space outside of Roots. So good, but much better way to celebrate the day. So, yeah, I came across a list of questions.
Okay. You will do
to get your black card revoked.
Okay.
And so I'm going to ask you these questions and we can answer. And there is no, like, given answer, but the culture will respond. So, question number one. Siege, to keep your black card, what do you eat on your grits?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a sugar grits, but I know that people do salt.
Okay. Yes, I am a cheese, salt, and pepper person on my grits. So a little bit of hot sauce as well. Peach, for your black card, who was the greatest male R&B group of the 90s? I have some options for you.
Oh.
No, it's okay. If Boyz II Men's your answer, Boyz II Men. Mm-hmm. Drew Hill, New Edition, or Jodeci?
Depends on what we party into. But I'm going to go Boyz II Men. That's me.
Boyz II Men, I would say as well. But to keep your black card, Jodeci is the preferred answer. Best black comedy of all time. Friday or Coming to America?
Oh, okay. See, the black answer is Coming to America. Is that the black answer?
Again, there's no given answers. I'm just going based off of where my own internal black compass is going.
My black, if my life was on the line, I'd say Coming to America. Black people love Coming to America. They like Friday, and they like Friday is cultural, but they will hands down defend the comedy of Coming to America.
For the real ones, I'm gonna go through Secret Door number 3, which is Life with Eddie and Martin, which I actually think black people love more than both of those.
It's a really good famous movie. It's a really good movie.
It's very quotable. All right, there's a bunch of these, but I'm only gonna choose like one or two more. What's a sign that a white person might be woke? A, they voted for Obama. B, they don't see color. C, they went to a Black Lives Matter protest.
Oh, okay.
Or D, they have more than one black friend.
Ooh, I'm going to have to say more than one black friend is the only one that would give them any kind of, because one black friend doesn't really hold a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And so you get two niggas.
Sometimes that one black friend could do a lot of harm. Like when I hang out with white people who have one black friend, they're like, well, my black friend said this was cool. And I was
absolutely
like, I think you need a general consensus on this more than absolutely one person's opinion.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, before we go, do you have any questions to test me of
Okay. All right, I got questions for you. Okay. These are all for your black card. Defend your black card. What do you call your mom's best friend? Is it A, auntie? B, How do you know it's Clean the House Day?
Okay. The correct answer is to wake up to the sound of loud gospel music. Yes! But
literally the answer. That is the answer. You wake up to the sounds of neo soul or gospel and smell bleach.
Yeah, I was gonna say for me it was 90s R&B, but yeah, neo soul, so that works too.
Okay. If you go to a buffet with your mom, how old do you tell them you are?
Under 12, obviously.
I love that you said it verbatim.
No, I know I look 35 years old, sir, but technically I'm under 12. I'm just big for my age.
Oh, God, I love it. Those were the ones that I had, like, that I just had waiting.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
I thought those were so much fun. Okay, as always, again, if you guys enjoyed our recap, or even if you, like, just need something to do on this Juneteenth, please go check out The Blackening.
Absolutely.
We had fun. We think you'll have fun. We definitely want to hear what you guys thought about it. T, any final thoughts? Like, what grade? Like, I don't even know how we usually do, like, grades.
You know what? Yeah, it's hard to do grades for these movies, but I will definitely say I highly recommend it. I feel like I want to go see it for repeat viewing. I want to invite people to go see it. I'm so excited for my family to watch it and get their thoughts. Like, this is definitely, like, a movie I want to pull out at Thanksgiving when I'm with the whole fam, and I just want us all to watch it together. Because we all get together, we all play cards, we're all talking shit this way. Like, it just felt so at home. It made me feel so home when I was in that movie experience. So
to that point, and put this wherever you want to, beginning, middle, or end, do you guys have a family game that you take so seriously? Because again, I don't know how to play spades. However, in my family, Uno,
yeah,
is that game. Uno can, like, ruin relationships.
I understand that completely. Yeah, you know, what I'm learning is that ADHD actually runs deep in my family. And I didn't understand it because we were all the same. And so when we get together, we gamify everything. We have giant tournaments. We have an Uno tournament. We have a poker tournament. We play a game called 500, which is, like, almost like Remy, but it's like our family game that we take really seriously. Okay. And Monopoly has ended in fights. Families broken because of games of Monopoly that have taken too seriously. Our family also does this thing where, like, if you didn't get caught cheating, you ain't cheat.
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't know, because we will always catch you, but you have never seen, and I just want people to know, you have never seen energy.
Never.
Unless you've seen a black family at a game, because that energy level of, like, catching somebody or being so close, I have to admit, I've surprised myself. I can't even imitate myself because I would just clip. But the level of, like, just being able to, like, throw down.
The screaming. Like, and it's all, here's the thing. If you're listening from the outside of the room when these games are being played, you're thinking there's so much hatred that lives within this family, so much bitterness, so much, like mean-spiritedness. But really, it's just, like, we are so caught up in this game just for the bragging rights, just to be able to talk shit. Like, I can't tell you, my mom was just here a week ago, and we sat down to play our game that we play, our 500 game, and she goes, oh, so you want to get your ass beat again? Like,
yeah. Like, again,
it just rolls off the tongue.
All of that. Also, one of the things I love, and I'm thinking about it, is it's for all ages. Like, you play at your own risk is a thing. Because if you 9 years old and you say you want to play, we ain't taking it easy because you 9.
Like, no. And sometimes that shit goes... Day. Sometimes the older people were like, no, give her another chance. She's new. No, she shouldn't have signed up to play then. It's Connect Four. It's not that serious. Like,
it's Connect Four. Do you not? He not count?
Like, oh, I didn't realize I was putting. No, then you'll learn. Then yeah, I guess you just learned the lesson. You're gonna keep with you forever.
Exactly. I just think that randomly this just came to my mind. But one of the things that I. Fun facts that I love is, like, Beyonce is apparently, like, a huge Connect Four person.
Ooh,
and she's like, I never lose a game of Connect Four. I don't know why, but like apparently that is her thing. That's just like
I will say, here's something that's very interesting. My family is very into Chinese checkers. It's an unusual Ooh. Game, Ooh. But it's one that my grandma loves and one that we play all the time. And I'm way better at Chinese checkers than I am regular checkers.
Okay. I'll have to checkers I can do. Chinese checkers, it's one of those where it's like, I remember playing that growing up, but I'd have to just like get back into it.
Yeah.
Black people love games. Do you remember that little like triangle game you would play at like an IHOP?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, like we just do that.
Cracker Barrel.
Time. Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
You know what I think? You say that you were like, Black people love games. I think you just brought up a very good point, because this whole kind of movie touches on this too. Like, we ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, as a kid, it's like the weekend comes and it's like you're playing outside, you're having your cousins come over, like you're doing something like you. It's video games or board games. Like, it's not something that's super expensive. You're not going to have a hobby like skiing, which costs like a fortune to do. It's like, no, we're going to gather around with this $5 card set and we're going to have the time of our lives for like 5 hours.
The time of our lives. The last thing I wanted to say is, in the movie, there's a scene where they speak to each other without talking.
Yes, love that.
And I just thought that that was such a good, it was a good thing to see as representation of just looking at each other and being like, do you trust me? Yeah. Like talking. But then also the idea that later on they do it, the two guys, Namdi and Dwayne, do it to each other. And then Clifton is like, I heard you.
Because what's so funny about it is, you know, I can't count the amount of times that you look over and you get the vibe check from someone. Mm-hmm. Like something crazy happens. Like, for example, I used to work at a company. There was one other person of color. Someone says something vaguely racist. Me and this person look at each other. Look. Nonverbal conversation ensues. We go back to the meeting.
The number of times, like with my coworker, I can like just message girl. She was like, we didn't say anything else, but it's just like, are you on this call? Yeah. Are you on this call?
It's the best. And they do it so well in the movie. They do it so well.
They absolutely do. So again, as you guys can clearly tell, we've had a great time. I had a great time recording this with you. I'm so glad that you saw it.
I'm so glad that there has been, and I'll just say my last thing that I want to say about this movie, I truly cannot remember the last time I saw a funnier comedy in theaters. Like, I'm trying to think about the last time I saw a true comedy that made me laugh, belly laugh. It's been the longest time. And so, like, this was just a really great summer experience because you're filled with so much joy afterwards compared to some of the darker, like, oh, machine robot fight movies. It's like, oh, you know, it's fine, I guess. But, you know, joy.
Yeah, you're right. This was a funny movie. Last little sight gag I remember, when they're like, Morgan, played by Yvonne, is, they're like, she gonna get scalped, and instead her wig come off.
They're like, damn, that's girl, that's a nice wig.
Okay, y'all, I'm sorry, I'll let y'all go. As always, reach out to us at BrumeatsWorld. Check us out. And email us at brummeatsworld@gmail.com. Check out our merch, subscribe, leave a review, do all the things. We always appreciate it. We hope that you guys enjoyed yourselves. Happy Juneteenth, and remember to dream,
to try,
and to do good.
Do some damn good, y'all. Happy Juneteenth!
Juneteenth, let it rise!
Bruss! When this boy meets world.